Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Redeemer Theological Academy. Confessing Christ to an Unbelieving World. With Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer.
You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Keschelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Keschelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, we have been going through the letter to the Ephesians for some time now. We've been talking about the new creation, the new walking, and the new clothing of the baptized. Now, in today's lecture, we want to conclude our discussion on this letter, as we conclude chapters 5 and 6. Now, recall with me that back in chapter 5 at verse 8, Paul tells the baptized this: "At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now again, this is the new creation. This is the new walking. And notice the theme of light continues in chapter 5. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, because anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but rather understand what the will of the Lord is." Now again, notice this theme of light against darkness, that as baptized believers, we have been brought out of the darkness, given a new identity, and now we are to begin to walk in the light. Now in the darkness covers the old ways of rebellion and sin in this fallen creation. Again, Paul will talk about how in darkness, that's where people sin. The other thing is that in darkness, people sleep. Therefore, we should wake up. We should realize that it's not time to slumber, but to walk in the light. It is daytime, and we are children of the light. And so this image of light is found here in chapter 5 as we move into chapter 6. And again, in chapter 6, this is where Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." And then again, he goes on to say this: "Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but rather against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness." Now notice this: fighting against the temptation of the devil and darkness, that we are to awaken from our spiritual slumber and to walk in the light. And we are to dress in the armor of God. So that Paul will go on saying, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Now again, being dressed in the armor of God is being clothed for action. This is all baptismal language. And notice this connection between armor and light, as Paul will make that connection clear in Romans chapter 13, in which he says in a very similar way, "You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Night is far gone, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, Again, notice this baptismal language of walking and being clothed, walking in the light. In fact, Paul calls the armor that we're to put on the armor of light. Now remember, in Paul's letter to the baptized in Rome, this theme of baptism and walking began back in chapter 6, in which Paul tells us very clearly that we were buried, therefore, with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And again, later on in chapter 8, he goes on and says this, that we who are baptized, we are justified, and justified by faith are beginning to walk not according to the flesh, but rather according to the Spirit. We are being led by the Holy Spirit and guided by the law of God. We're no longer under the law, we are under grace, and we're beginning to walk in the law. We ought to be a light to those who are in darkness. Now again, for this spiritual battle, we have been clothed with the armor of light. Later on, when Paul talks to the baptized Thessalonians in his first letter, in chapter 5, he's using the same type of language. Paul says this, "You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief." And before we move further, we need to explain what Paul is talking about. What's that day? Well, here in 1 Thessalonians, that day is the last day, the day in which Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. Now, right now, he is the one advocate with the Father. He is our high priest. He is the mediator who pours out for us the remission of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Because of his ascension, we are absolved of all of our sins, we are adopted as children of God, and we are accepted into eternal life. And so for the believer, you have Christ now as mediator. On the last day, he will come to judge, and then it will be too late. No longer will you have a mediator with the Father, rather Jesus will judge the living and the dead. Now for us, who have the mediator now, who have faith in Christ now, we're not going to be surprised by this judgment on the last day. It's not going to sneak up on us like a thief, not knowing that it's going to happen. Rather, we know it will happen. And we know now that in Christ, we are a new creation and there is no condemnation. Now let's go back to this passage in 1 Thessalonians. So Paul writes to the baptized saying, "You are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, because you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but rather let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk, well, they are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because God has not destined us for wrath, but rather to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him." Now again, notice this language and this imagery of light and dark, that we are children of the light. We are children of the day. We have been adopted by grace. And we have that promise given to us in baptism. Now remember, Paul assured the baptized in Galatia saying, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. because as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have been clothed with Christ. Now again, that's that language of adoption and the language of clothing. Being clothed with Christ. He is our garment of salvation and our robe of righteousness. Thus, Paul is using this baptismal language of adoption. We are children of light, children of the day, and we are to be clothed, dressed for action, with the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, keep in mind, when Paul writes these letters to the Christians, he is writing to the baptized, and he's assuring them of the salvation they have in Christ alone, as that promise is given and delivered to them in their own baptism. So he'll use his baptismal language of the new identity, the new clothing, and the new walking. If you go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, for instance, Paul says this, "For you, brothers, remember our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. While we proclaim to you the gospel of God, you are witnesses, and so too is God. How holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Now, a couple of things here. Notice that Paul is referring to himself as a father, a spiritual father. And that's why historically in the church, the pastor is referred to as a father. He's the one who is bringing up the children of the church in the way of the Lord. And here, Paul as a spiritual father, as a pastor, as a shepherd, and as a father who brought to them the new birth through the gospel. And of course, that gospel is given in the waters of holy baptism, where we are born again, or born from above, with water and the word. Thus, as a spiritual father, he encourages the children to walk in a manner worthy of God. Now again, later on in chapter 4, he continues this baptismal language of walking. He says this, "Finally, brothers, we then ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more, because you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality, and that each one of you would know how to control his own body in holiness and in honor, not in the passion of lust like the pagans who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter. Why? Because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you." Now again, notice here this baptismal language, this promise of the Holy Spirit, this promise of the Holy Spirit who works in the heart, indwells in the life of the believer. Here we have the renewal of the Holy Spirit who continues to renew the mind and strengthen the new man day by day. And in this life as a Christian, we begin to walk in newness of life. We begin to please God by this incipient keeping of the law. Now by incipient, I mean this starting, this initiation of fulfilling the law. Not that we fulfill it in totality, completely, or perfectly. It's not our keeping of the law that makes us holy. Instead, by the imputation of Christ's righteousness and his holiness, we, by faith, stand holy and righteous before God, all for the sake of Christ, who alone perfectly and completely fulfilled the will of God, that is, the law. But as those who have received the remission of sins and the righteousness of Christ and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, we are beginning to keep the law and please God. This can only happen, of course, with Christ as our high priest, the one mediator between God and man, for Jesus justifies and the Spirit sanctifies. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on, that is, be clothed with the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but rather against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now again, notice the saints are the ones who are made holy by Christ. We don't make ourselves holy. Christ alone is the Holy One, and he bestows his holiness upon us. Now the saints are those who have been called, gathered, and enlightened by the Holy Spirit. By the blood of Christ, they have become holy, a holy people for God. Of course, this is all baptismal language. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, that is, make her holy. That is, thus the individual members are holy ones, that is, saints. And so Christ gave up himself so that he might sanctify, cleanse, that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot, without wrinkle, that she might be holy and blameless. Now again, remember in Ephesians chapter 4 that Christ has ascended, and as he ascends, he pours out his gifts. He pours out the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit indwelling in the believer, the Holy Spirit continues to give gifts in the plural. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of supplication and prayer. Thus, Paul says to the baptized that they should take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and at all times pray in the Spirit. As Paul also told the baptized in Rome, in chapter 8 of his epistle to the Romans, saying that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of supplication and intercession. And of course, he is also the Spirit of adoption, which likewise is baptismal language, taking us all the way back to chapter 1 in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, in which Paul says, "In Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." Again, to have an inheritance means that you are an heir, a fellow heir with Christ. Christ alone is the only begotten Son of the Father from all eternity. But yet in baptism, we have the promise that we have been adopted by grace and become children of God, heirs of the kingdom with Christ. Thus, in chapter 1, Paul says that in Christ we have been predestined for adoption. In Christ we have been chosen before the foundation of the world, so that we might be holy and blameless, which of course Paul promises in baptism, that Christ gave himself up for the church that she might be holy and blameless. Again, notice that Paul writes his letter to the saints in Ephesus, that is the holy ones, that is, the baptized who have the promise of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we have the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit who is at work in our hearts and our minds, renewing us and restoring us into the image of Christ, that we would begin to walk in His ways. Again, remember how Paul will talk about this in Ephesians chapter 2, in which he says that at one time you were dead in your trespasses and sins. At that time, you used to walk following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. Now, who is this? Well, that, of course, is the devil. So the Paul will go on and say that he is the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. But yet for the baptized, for those who have been converted to the faith through the power of the gospel, the Holy Spirit is at work in us. Whereas the sons of disobedience live in the passions of their flesh and carrying out the desires of their bodies and their minds. In fact, they are children of wrath. But we are not children for destruction. Christ has freed us from the condemnation of the law. Christ is our salvation. Thus, in chapter 2, Paul will assure the baptized by saying that you have been saved by grace and raised up with Christ and seated with Him in the heavenly places. Now, notice in this picture, Paul is connecting the baptized to the death and crucifixion of Jesus, to the life and resurrection of Jesus, and to the ascension of Jesus, where He stands now as our high priest. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous one, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the world, as John says in his first letter to the baptized. Now, notice again that in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is going to emphasize that we are accepted by God for the sake of Christ, that we are adopted children of God. Now, the language of adoption and inheritance is the language of grace. This is not by our merit or our works that we have received the forgiveness of sins or eternal life. But this is all for the sake of Christ. Thus, Paul says, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. Rather, it is the gift of God, and it is not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, notice the language of walking, that we are to walk in these good works. We are not to walk in the way of the world, which is in evil works or wicked works. Now again, remember with me that in our baptism, we are baptized in the name of the blessed Holy Trinity, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2. Through Christ, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. Now, this is how we can pray in the Spirit. Christ is our mediator, our high priest, our advocate, and through Him, we have access to the Father in the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul will use this same baptismal Trinitarian language in Ephesians chapter 3 when he says this, I bow my knees before the Father. You see, this is the language of prayer, that through Christ we have access to the Father in the Holy Spirit. So here Paul is praying in the Spirit of God. To God the Father through God the Son. Now notice as he prays, he's asking and petitioning the Father that the baptized believers would be strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Again, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That Paul is petitioning the Father through the Son in the Spirit, that the Father would strengthen the baptized believer in his inner being through the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in his heart through faith. So that the baptized believer would be rooted and grounded in love. And then in chapter 4, Paul encourages the baptized by saying this, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love. And then Paul talks about the unity of the Spirit, where he uses the creedal language, which is baptismal language, the language of the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and even the Athanasian Creed are the totality of the confession of the Christian faith for the baptized. These creeds are the faith that we are baptized into. And for that reason, Basil of Caesarea says this, as we are baptized, so we worship. As we worship, so we believe. Thus, in the creed of the church, we say that we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in one Holy Spirit. And, of course, one baptism. And this is what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now we want to be clear here that the Christian church has always confessed one baptism for the remission of sins. Now in baptism we have the promise of the ascended Christ that he gives to us the remission of sins and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, that we begin to walk in newness of life. And therefore, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul continues on this understanding by saying, you must no longer walk as the pagans do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Now, as the baptized, the Holy Spirit is working in us to renew our minds. And we are beginning to put off, that is to take off the old self, the old Adam and his rebellion against God, and to put on the new man, the new self, in which we are created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We have the eyes of our hearts enlightened, and we are beginning to love as Christ loved us and forgive as Christ has forgiven us. And then Paul uses the baptismal language in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says this, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.